I don't know the year, can't remember the year that it took place, but I remember as a young believer attending the Pugwash Conference. Of course, we have for years, but Mr. Oswald MacLeod got up and he spoke on the things most surely believed among us. Now, if anyone could help me with the year that he spoke that particular message, I would appreciate that. Because I want to tell you that as a young believer, I was thoroughly thrilled with the message. I was thoroughly thrilled with the truth that he brought before our minds. And I have to say today that that particular conference session helped me to appreciate the assembly in a way that was so needful as a young believer, and it has stood me in good stead through the years. And I just really appreciate the exercise that was behind that message. Of course, it was God, and I'm sure I wasn't the only one who was blessed that day from the ministry of the Word of God. The things most surely believed among us. Another thing he mentioned as an elderly man, I'll mention this too, and he was making his way to the platform, wasn't as spry as he used to be. When he got up on the platform, he said, there's a restaurant in Hickory, and they have a little motto, Don't knock our coffee. You might be old and weak yourself someday. And so, you know what? He set the stage really to prepare for a little ministry. And I just want to read a passage here. It's been on my mind very much this week. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things that saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I want to just pause here and make a statement. This does not mean that he was the first to be created. He was the very source and the beginner of the creation of God. He says, I know thy works. I know. Seven times over in these chapters, two and three, he says, I know, I know, I know, I know. And so he's one who knows. He knows all. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou art either cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Quite a calling, isn't it? To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. God's people in Laodicea. I know some people find it difficult to think of the chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation as a panoramic view of the church age, but I don't have any difficulty in seeing that the final church here, Laodicea, I don't personally, in my own reading, I don't see or have a great difficulty in recognizing characteristics in Laodicea that apply and are characteristics of the day in which we're living. Now, I'm not here to bring a dark cloud over assembly testimony. Not at all. I just think it's the most wonderful thing that assembly testimony is continuing. But you know, I think we would all recognize that as assemblies, as well as individually, there's room for improvement. There's room for restoration to the Lord. There's room to get back to principles that perhaps we've become a little bit negligent on. But I want to say that what I see in these chapters is that we're seeing churches that mean so much to Him. We're seeing individuals that mean so much to Him, and that's critical. It's not all about me. It's not all about what I think I can do, or that we can do as the people of God, or this is popular. It's really getting back to what He really wants, and that's absolutely essential. I was thinking about this section here, the Laodiceans. It was really people rule, as I understand it, at least one meaning of Laodicea is people rule. You know, that strikes my own heart, and I say, okay, David, how are you getting along? Is everything about you and your life? What part does the Lord really have in your life? Does He really have any claim on your? Does He really have any right to rule? Well, the conditions had reached a certain place here where I believe it was the Spirit of God that singled out these various assemblies. It's not by chance that the Laodiceans are referred to in this section. But one thing I want to just encourage your hearts with is this, that this was a day of unique collective testimony in all that part of Asia. The gospel had gone forth, souls have been saved and baptized and gathered not unto the name of Paul or Silas, but gathered unto the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, according to the words of the Lord Jesus, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. I was noticing that passage, just looking at it, you know, it does us good to go back to those passages that we know so well. And what I was enjoying afresh in Matthew 18 and 20 is this. It's God who establishes the lampstand. It's God who decides where the testimony is going to be. But I believe that Matthew 18 and verse 20 gives us evidence, even from the very grammar of it, that it's the Spirit of God that gathers people to that lampstand. It's a work of the Spirit of God. Where two or three are, having been and being gathered, and that gathering is an outside force. This wasn't something that they decided, well, we're going to gather unto a certain name. No, it's the Spirit of God is the one who is gathering. And exactly the same grammatical expression in Acts chapter 20, when the disciples at Troas came together to break bread, they were brought together. Just look at it for yourself. They were brought together. I know that there was definite choice involved in that. I know that. And there's always definite choice involved when we decide, I'm going to be at the remembrance. I'm going to remember the Lord Jesus. And there's certainly an active side to that. But there's another side to it, and it's this, that the Spirit of God is the one who places within our hearts a desire to gather, to remember the Lord Jesus in His own appointed way. And it's the same Spirit who moves us as the people of God to come together to preach the gospel. And it's the same Spirit of God that is moving to bring us together for the prayer meeting and the Bible reading. Same Spirit of God. The same action. So one meeting isn't more important than another in the mind of God. I just was impressed with the fact that all through this area, the gospel had been preached Souls have been saved, and they were baptized and gathered according to the pattern. And so here were lampstands that were functioning for God. You know, we look at a company like this morning, and we appreciate the fact that there's a representation of the work of God all over the Maritimes and further afield. God's work is going on. Souls are being saved. And it's a wonderful thing when there's the follow-up of the preaching of the gospel with souls, not only just getting saved, not just inside the door and that's it, but with a genuine desire, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And of course, the Spirit of God will guide that individual to the Word of God and to baptism and so on. So it was a day of unique collective testimony for God in the world. We're living in a day of unique testimony, collective testimony for God. Allow me to say this. There's nothing like it in the world. There's nothing like it in the world. You say, what do you mean? God has His pattern. God has His lampstand. And if it's from God, and it's established by God, brought together by the Spirit of God on the Word of God, and functioning according to the Word of God, there's nothing else like it in the world. I have no hesitation in saying that. I think it's precious to God. So while there is collective testimony, unique collective testimony, I think there was room for improvement as we read through these churches. Definitely need for improvement, for correction. And that's why we read that little word, repent. There needs to be a change. It was a day of His imminent return, because this is characteristic of final days. So we're living in the day of the coming again of the Lord Jesus. What does that mean to you? How important is it to you that we're living in those days? We are right here in 2018. We're living, never been closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus. We're living in the day of the coming of the Lord Jesus, final days. Oh my, how unique is our opportunity as collective assemblies, collective gatherings. How unique is our opportunity in closing days. Do you know what I desire? I desire to be in the assembly when the Lord Jesus comes. But no guarantee as I look within. We appreciate one who cares for His people, and He cares. He says, I know. I know the circumstances that surround your life. I know the circumstances that surround your life, David. I know all that. And you know what? When I think of some people, and I look at some individuals, some believers, and what they have to go through, and what they are going through, what they're enduring, you say, they're being held up by someone else. This isn't fleshly strength. I want to tell you, we have one that cares for us continually. I hope that's an encouragement to you. We're living in closing days. This was a day of lukewarmness. Here, He said, you're lukewarm. I don't think that any of us could really deny that we could do with a lot more warming up in our lives as believers and even as assembly testimonies. I don't think there's anyone that would say, we've reached. We've finally come to the zenith of collective testimony. No, I think we would all have to recognize that there's a sense of a certain amount of lukewarmness about us. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 24, He said, because wickedness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And really, we're living in a world that wickedness is abounding. And it's having its effect upon us as the people of God. No doubt about it. It has that, in some cases, a subtle effect. Even though we seek to move in the fear of God, but we can become very careless. And, you know, the flesh isn't very far beneath the surface in any one of us. You know, something that's very solemn is that what I allow in my life as a believer in the assembly of God, I carry into the assembly. I carry that into the assembly. We're in the local assembly. We're gathered to His name 24/7. And so what I allow in my life as a believer in this world it really has its effect upon the assembly. Now, you might not know what I'm occupied with, how I occupy my time, my thoughts, my reading, but I'll tell you who does, the one who says, I know, I know. And he's moving among the lampstands. And so the assembly here in Pugwash Junction, for an example, the Lord Jesus is always moving among the lampstand. And he's moving among the lampstands. And I'll tell you, that makes it a fearful thing, really, in a sense, to be gathered outside the camp unto himself alone. But it was a day of prosperity. In Goose Bay, we saw a direct correlation with the interest in the gospel. Before the Muskrat Falls project started, but when that started, there was an inflow of money. And corresponding with that inflow of more money into Goose Bay, there's a corresponding disregard for the things of God. We don't need God. Well, just a moment, that's in the world out there. But you know, there's a sense in which in our lives as believers, prosperity can make us careless with regard to the things of God. Prosperity can make me careless with regard to the assembly, something that's very precious to the heart of God. Just something we need to stop and ask, how am I getting along in the assembly? Are my priorities affected by prosperity? Is that really happening? A day of prosperity. But you know what? I see in this passage a day of priority and choice. He offers us something here that I feel is of tremendous importance. We go down through a rather dark picture of the conditions in Laodicea. But when I come to verse 20, I see something that's very personal. And let me say this, that when we see certain conditions deteriorating, maybe in assembly collective testimony, and people have been made aware, I don't mean of this day, but down through the ages, there have been those who have been gathered to his name and person who have recognized things aren't just what they should be. Well, I want to say there's something that you and I, an opportunity that you and I have. In verse 20, he singles out the individual. And when collective testimony maybe is weakened, and I'm not downing assembly testimony as though it's all gone to the rocks. No, not at all. I appreciate the assemblies that are continuing and year after year. And Pugwash Conference is a testimony to that fact. But you know, it comes down to personal exercise. The one who walks in the midst and knows everything, he comes to you and he comes to me, and he says, I'm making you an offer. An offer of true riches that are eternal. Do you want them? True riches. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. The true riches really of eternal value are the things that are precious to his heart, not the things that are precious to my heart. Usually that's controlled by the flesh. He says, I'm offering you an excellent testimony. Right now, he says, your clothing isn't what it should be. And that speaks to me of testimony. Maybe our testimony isn't just what it should be. He says, I'm offering you corrected vision. We all would like a better vision. Well, how about in spiritual things? Do I come to the Pugwash Conference with an inward desire, Lord, correct my vision? I need to have my vision corrected. I would like to be more in fellowship with God and the things that I once enjoyed. I'd like to be restored to those things. They're precious. I want to tell you that the enjoyment of the things of God really are the only things that are of real value. And that's what he offers to us today. So what does he do? He says, I stand at the door and knock. He just knocks. How many times have you just pulled the curtain back early in the morning and you see a kind and gentle person and he's just walking away? He's walking away from your door. How often? David, you asked the same question. He just comes early in the morning. And he gently knocks. He's a gentleman. He won't force his way in. I was enjoying recently the two on the road to Emmaus. It says he drew near. He just drew near and he went with them, walked along with them. He wasn't intrusive. He just drew near. And as he walked along with them, he opened to them the scriptures and they said, our hearts burn within us. And no, when they came to the, when they came to their doorway, to their gate, what does it say? I love the picture. It says he made as though he would have gone further. He doesn't force his way into anyone's life. He doesn't do that. He just makes as though he would go on further. But they said, come into our home. They constrained him. They said, we want you in our home. They had been impressed with what he had said to them along the way. I'd like to offer this morning. I'm speaking to the person who's speaking as well. How about the early morning hours when he just gently knocks? What does he want to do? Spoil my day? Or does he want to walk with me through the day? I think I hear someone say, if you only knew my schedule, I just really don't have time for... What? You don't have time for him? Maybe a half an hour or so in the morning. Maybe he has that time. I think he wants to journey with us through the day. So he just knocks gently. He says, I'd like to come into your life today, and I want to walk with you through the day. Wow. Who's this? You know, as we pull the curtain back, we say, who's knocking at my door this morning? We see the print of the nails. It's the Lord. It's the Lord himself. He actually wants to walk with me. He wants to come into my home. He wants to visit with me. And so, what do I do? He's knocked gently. He's not going to force his way into my home. How many times, let's be honest. Come on, David, be honest. How many times has he just walked away? And I go through the day without him. Now, I know he's with me. Let's not get that wrong. He's with me because he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But in a personal sense, a consciousness that he's with me through this day. Wow, what a priceless offer. You see, he's offering us something in a dark day of departure and lukewarmness. And he says, if any man, that means if any person, it comes now down to the individual. It comes down to my opportunity. It comes down to your opportunity. Are you willing to open the door early in the morning? Maybe there are things that have to be just kind of set aside before I open the door. Maybe there are some things around the home, my life, that I would just feel uncomfortable if he came in and saw these things. He would kind of know what I've been spending my time at. Well, I want to tell you something. He knows anyway. He knows anyway. Talk about a gracious person wanting to come into your life and mine, in spite of what he knows is in the home, in my life. He wants to walk with me. He bought me with his own blood. So I come to the door and I open the door. I say, "It's the Lord. Why, it's wonderful to see you. Haven't been talking to you for a while." He says, I know. But he says, "I've still been at your door. I've still been knocking morning by morning." So he says, it's not that I don't want to. Do you know what? He wants to visit with you. He wants to visit with me. He wants to have fellowship with us through the hours of the day. Imagine the very Son of God wanting to have fellowship with me. That's what he says. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." What an opportunity for every one of us. This isn't just for older saints. This isn't just for young people. This is for every one of us, speaker included. So I open the door. What a person to step into my day. "So I'd like to have breakfast with you." So we sit down and we're eating together, and he's opening up some scriptures to me as we're eating together, and we're meditating on some things that he has said. And we say, this is precious. At scriptures, he starts to open up. That's just like what he did on the road to Emmaus. Do you know those 7 miles would never, ever, ever leave the minds of that couple that went to Emmaus, from Jerusalem to Emmaus? They would never forget those 7 miles. They said, "Our hearts burned within us." So all he wants to do in your life and mine, brother, sister, is to open to us the scriptures. He just wants to tell us about the things that are precious to him. And you know what? That means I have to make a choice. I have to make a choice. Am I going to let him into my life today? Am I going to listen to his word to me today? He's got a specific purpose for you today. He'll bring people into contact with you. Such a gracious person he is. I was speaking with a believer this week. He said, "Come here, I want to show you something." And he showed me some grapevines that he had growing in a nice spot at his place. And as we were looking at the vines, I saw him look. And he said, "Oh." And he got down, and here was a vine that was broken over. He said, "Yeah," I said, "that was one of the children." And he wasn't upset, but he knew what really happened there. Do you know what he did? He just straightened the vine up. He said, "I'll probably have to go to another leaf or shoot down here." But he very gently lifted that stem. You know, I couldn't help but think of the scripture, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax he won't quench." That's the one who wants to come into your life and into my life. And I hope that the Pugwash Conference will help us in this. He just wants to be everything that he can be throughout the day. At your work, at your school, at your activities, he wants to be there. Sometimes we have to shift our perception of things to realize, yeah, he can actually be with me. So after breakfast, we go for a walk. We have the day free, so we just go down this street. He knows there's something that isn't good for me down this street, so he says, we'll go up this street now, and we'll go down this street. And so he just guides us carefully with the skillfulness of his hands. He guides us around the things that will only be a detriment to my life and my appreciation of him. This is the person that wants to actually, we're not just painting a little picture here. I wish I could grasp the reality of what he's saying. David, I'll come into your life today and I'll be with you today in all that you're occupied with. And it's for every one of us this morning. He wants to come into your life. He wants to come into my life. He might speak to us about the fact that he bought us. And we're walking along and he says, I bought you. You know, you remember that. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, I know. So, yeah, he has a right to my life. So he's talking about redemption. Wow, my heart begins to burn within me. Yeah, he really owns me. He might begin to speak to me about separation from the things of the world that really aren't good for me. You know what? Separation is a glorious thing because God gets his portion from his people through the truth of separation. It's not to be hurting us or something to be, oh, my separation. I wish you'd get off of that subject. No, no. He wants to separate us from a world that will only defile us and hinder us in our lives. He might speak to us if we're not baptized about, why haven't you been baptized now? Identifying yourself with me. And that begins to affect the heart. Yes, baptism. What about assembly fellowship? You're not gathered with my people unto my name, are you? Well, no. I asked a man one time about when he was, why he was not in the assembly. He said, I can't tell you. He said, I just don't think the Lord ever guided me there. No, that's wrong. He guides us all. What about consecration? What about choices in our lives? Speak to us about all those things. What about the Bema? He'll talk to us about all these things. So I just want to leave these thoughts with us this morning as our meeting continues. I would like to be changed. I'd like to be a different person leaving Hogwash Conference. And there's lots of room for improvement. Oh, man, an abundance of room for improvement. But I would love to know more of daily opening the door. He says, it's me. I'm knocking at your door. And I really would like to have more time in your life today. So the choice is ours. Do we just leave the door closed? Or do we hastily open the door and welcome in a most wonderful guest? The Lord bless his word.